Okay. Good morning, members of the commission, staff, ladies and gentlemen. The Planning Commission is now in session. We have a few rules and procedures we'd like you to follow for today's hearing. Everyone will be given an opportunity to be heard. When it is your time to speak, please come to the podium, state your name and address clearly for the record. The applicant and those in favor of the application will speak first, then those opposed to the application will be heard. After that, the applicant will be given time for rebuttal, and if necessary, one opposed will be given the opportunity to surrebut. We ask that you limit your presentations or testimony to 5 minutes or less. The chair reserves the right to limit testimony and will exercise that right in the interest of others who have business before the commission. After all the speakers have been heard, the hearing will be closed. At that point, additional comments from the public will not be allowed unless one of the commissioners asks that the hearing be reopened. Finally, the commissioners will discuss the application, make motions, and vote to reach a decision. If you're not satisfied with the commission's decision, you may be able to appeal to the Board of Supervisors. Appeals must be filed within a specified period of time after today's hearing, and you can check with staff for the procedures to follow in filing your appeal. Please make sure your mobile phones and pagers are on mute. Thank you. Commissioner Hill, will you lead us in the flag salute, please?
Please stand for our flag salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. May we have a roll call, please?
Commissioner Arabian?
Here.
Commissioner Arcero is absent. Commissioner Borchardt?
Here.
Commissioner Carver is absent. Commissioner Keast? Quist?
Yes, here.
Commissioner Whelan?
Here.
Commissioner Zante is absent. Vice Chair Hill?
Here.
Chairman Abrahamian.
Here. Okay. The first item on the agenda is the consent agenda. There are no items on the consent agenda. So going to the regular agenda, the first item is public presentations. This portion is reserved for persons desiring to address the Planning Commission on any matter within our jurisdiction, but not on today's agenda. Is there anyone in the public that wishes to address the commission? Seeing none, we'll move on to item number two.
Regular agenda item number two, unclassified conditional use permit application number 3677, Sunrisa Solar Project and Associated Environmental Impact Report 7869 filed by EDPR California Solar Park, proposing to allow the construction, operation, maintenance, and decommissioning of the Sunrisa Solar Project on a photovoltaic solar electricity generating up to 200 megawatts and energy storage facilities with a capacity of approximately 184 megawatts on approximately 2,000 acres. The project would connect to the electrical grid via an approximately 0.2-mile Gentai connection to an existing 3.3-mile-long 230-kilovolt Gentai through an adjacent energy project, which connects to the existing Tranquility Switching Station, which is operated by the Pacific Gas and Electric Company. The requested term for the CUP is 35 years. The approximately 2,000-acre site is located in western Fresno County, generally bounded by State Route 33, State Route 33, also known as South Derrick Avenue, to the west, West Manning Avenue to the south, South Merced Avenue to the east, and West Adams Avenue to the north. West South Avenue bisects the site from east to west, approximately 7 miles west of the unincorporated community of Tranquility.
Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. Jeremy Shaw with the Department of Public Works and Planning. I believe we have a handout for you related to the motions for this item. I don't know if you've already received that or not. If you have not, we should probably distribute that at this time. Okay, thank you. I'll proceed. The Sunrisa Solar Park Project proposes to construct, operate, and provide for the future decommissioning of a solar energy generating facility, battery energy generating facility, or storage facility, rather, and an electrical transmission line with associated supporting equipment on approximately 2,000 acres in the AE20 zone district. Project site is located on the east side of State Route 33 between West Adams Avenue and West Manning Avenue. The site plan shows the general layout of the proposed facilities and related transmission line. The environmental impact report prepared for the project has identified potential impacts on the environment. The mitigation measures recommended in the EIR have been determined to reduce the identified impacts to a less than significant level. The mitigation measures have been accepted by the applicant. Additionally, the project will be subject to the conditions of approval and other mandatory requirements of Fresno County and responsible agencies. Staff has also determined that the project is compliant with the county adopted solar facility guidelines and will be required to adhere substantially to the provisions of the reclamation plan included as Exhibit 8 of the staff report. In conclusion, based on the analysis summarized in the staff report, staff was able to make all four of the required findings necessary for granting the conditional use permit. Additionally, staff has provided the commission with a set of recommendations, including certification of EIR number 7869 as complete and in conformance with the California Environmental Quality Act, and approval of unclassified conditional use permit application number 3677. Subject to the mitigation measures, conditions of approval, and project notes as listed in Exhibit 1 of the staff report, with the inclusion of modified transportation mitigation measure number 3, which will replace the same mitigation measure number in Exhibit 1. Thank you. This concludes staff's presentation. I'm happy to address any questions related to this agenda item. Should the commission have any questions specific to the EIR process, a representative of Environmental Science Associates, the county's consultant for this project, is present today. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions of staff? Okay. Thank you. Would the applicant, no questions at this time. Would the applicant come forward?
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
My name is Madison Novak, and our project office is at 30750 Manning Avenue in Cantua Creek. Good morning, commissioners, and thank you to the planning staff for your time spent on this project. EDP Renewables would be the developer, owner, and operator of the Sunrisa Solar and Storage Project. We are proposing this project right next door to our Scarlet Solar and Storage Project, which is currently under construction. I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Okay. You've reviewed the staff report, agreed all the conditions?
Yep, that's correct.
Okay. Was there any opposition voiced? Any correspondence?
Nothing other than what was received as part of the draft EIR. No public comment per se.
Okay. Are there any questions of the applicant? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else here to speak in support of this application? Is there anyone here to speak in opposition to this application? Seeing none, I'll close the public portion of the hearing, bring it back to the commission for discussion and motions. So we have these recommended motions, and that was because there was a change in the recommended item number 3. So any discussion? Anyone wants to make a motion? Okay. Okay.
Actually, let me put one thing on the audio just so we have the record of it. The flyer that was submitted to you, they are identical to the motion submitted in the original staff report, other than item number 3 has one additional sentence, which is including modified transportation mitigation measure number 3, parentheses 4.18-3, and parentheses as described in the recommended motion provided to the commission.
Okay, so Commissioner Quist made the motion as per staff's recommendation, including the additional line for item number three. And I didn't catch the second, or did we have one yet? If not, I will make the second. So, any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? That motion carries 5-0.
I'm not sure.
Commissioner Whalen had to step out, but it did pass with unanimously with the remaining commissioners. Okay, thank you very much. Next item on the agenda, item number three.
Thank you.
Regular agenda item number three, variance number 4142 and initial study number 8329 filed by James Heisdorf, proposing to allow the creation of three 20-acre parcels and a remaining 63-acre parcel from an existing 123-acre parcel within the AE40 zone district. The subject parcel is located on the north side of Millerton Road, 1.21 miles east of Aubrey Road, approximately 6.8 miles east from the community of Bryant.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission. Alexander Pretzer, Department of Public Works and Planning. Variance application 4142 proposes to create three 20-acre substandard parcels and a 63-acre remainder parcel from a 123-acre parcel. The subject parcel is located in the AE40 zone district and is designated as Eastside Rangeland in the county-adopted Sierra North Regional Plan. Staff recommends denial of this application as findings 1, 2, and 4 cannot be made. The request for the three 20-acre parcels is not consistent with the existing limitations of the zone district. The applicant has the same by-right ability to create three 40-acre parcels that meet the requirements of the AE40 zone district and objectives and policies of the Sierra North Regional Plan as similar parcels within the same zone district and land use designation. Alternatives to this application include amending the regional plan and rezoning the parcel to a zone district supportive of residential development. Staff is available for any questions you may have.
Thank you. Are there any questions of staff?
I have a question. It has existing mobile homes on the property already, correct?
My understanding is that there were four previous mobile homes, but those have since been removed. The applicant would be able to confirm in more detail.
All right.
I had a question on Exhibit 4, which shows existing land use map. There's a number of parcels around. It looks like 10-acre parcels, some 5-acre parcels. How were those, or when were those created?
Those were typically pre-existing as of the adoption of the Sierra North Regional Plan, as they were designated as low-density residential. They are also currently zoned AL40, which is typically the holding zone until such a time further development occurs. Okay.
So when was it changed? About what year?
Sierra North Regional Plan was adopted in 1982. I don't have any information before that as to their current state or the previous state.
Okay. Okay. Any other questions of staff? Thank you very much. Is the applicant here? Come forward.
Good morning, commissioners. Thank you for hearing this item this morning. My name is Jim Heisdorf. I'm the applicant and the owner of the property. I'd like to take just a few minutes to give you some background on myself so you kind of know my intentions for this property. So my grandfathers, my father, and I were all born and raised in Fresno County and lived here our entire lives. I grew up in Clovis near Buchanan High School before that complex was built, when Herndon and Clovis was a three-way intersection with Takahashi Fruit Stand on the corner. Throughout the years, I watched our quiet country neighborhood be swallowed up by city expansion, and it is all but recognizable today. I enjoyed growing up in the quiet countryside and have always wanted to raise my own children in the same manner, away from the chaos of the city environment. I found this property for sale when my son Adam was 14 months old. Rusty, the owner of the property, took my pregnant wife and I on a tour in the UTV while my son rode in our laps. We fell in love with the property immediately and chose to make an offer. We negotiated back and forth and eventually came to an agreement, and our second son, Ethan, was born during escrow. As it happens, Ethan was in Valley Children's Hospital 6 weeks old with an IV in his forehead on our close date, so we had to postpone our closing of escrow a few weeks. He was fresh out of the hospital and healthy and happy when we took possession of what will hopefully be our forever home. Since that time, a lot of life has happened to us. We all know what happened to the cost of living in recent years, but our own story includes a divorce before I could complete this project. I have managed to hold on to this property through the divorce, and it has required a lot of sacrifice and hard work to move the project forward inch by inch. It has literally been blood, sweat, and tears the entire way. To put it into perspective, Ethan will be 10 in March. My intention for this property is to raise my two sons in a safe environment, teach them the value of hard work, and to develop in them an appreciation for country life and teach them the skills necessary to live off the land. I'm not interested in transforming this property into anything resembling a residential development. I appreciate the open space of the area, and the very low density of development is actually what has drawn me to this area. I intend to preserve that character by implementing covenants, conditions, and requirements on the finished parcels that accomplish the following: to prohibit commercial operations such as event venues, to limit large-scale private events to no more than 5 per year, increase setbacks to 100 feet or more to be determined, to prevent permanent facilities, including animal enclosures, from being constructed on or near property lines, prohibit further subdivision of parcels or adding a second residence. I'd be more than happy to discuss any other conditions of approval that may be proposed to maintain the objectives of the general plan, which are goals I actually support. In short, I am fully committed to preserving the character of this property to every extent possible. I would love to be able to keep the entire property, but unfortunately that's not an option. I intend to build 3 homes on the 320-acre parcels and sell them at a profit to fund the construction of our own home. Based on my estimates of construction costs and fees for mapping and permitting, this project becomes financially viable at 4 lots. My hope is to begin construction next spring and complete the 3 spec homes as well as my family's home in the summer of 2026. I put so many things in my life and my son's lives on hold to maintain ownership of this property and to advance the project toward approval. We've had to forego vacations, live with family, and my primary transportation has 335,000 miles on it. And it's a Ford, so you can imagine how much time I spend under the hood. In short, I'm fully invested in seeing this dream through to its completion. I believe in this project, and I believe it's a good project for the county as well. I respectfully ask commission to grant approval of the project. So that's the end of my heartfelt appeal. I have some important items I'd like to note regarding this. The initial study cited no impact or no significant impact in all categories, including land use, planning, agriculture, and it recommended a negative declaration. The project will greatly increase the property tax revenues for the county, perhaps enough to indefinitely fund the salary of another sheriff's deputy. The water study that I conducted has shown that there is sufficient water to maintain as many as 10 residences off of my single well. I've already filed a notice of non-renewal and submitted cancellation application for the 60-acre portion that would result in non-compliance with the Williamson Act, and paid for the appraisal that was completed by the assessor's office to determine the cancellation fees. Those items are all required prior to the hearing. I also have some discussion points on the 4 findings. Regarding finding 1, there are some terrain features that would make it difficult for me to split into 40-acre lots. I have an exhibit here I'd like to hand out if I could. Sorry, it's not a thank you, Alex. Sorry, it's not a slideshow, but I was pressed for time. If I were to go to 40-acre lots, my northern division line would be moved northward. You mentioned there was mobile homes on the property. There were 4 at one time, 4 addresses. I've removed 3 of those. There is 1 remaining. and the one remaining would be in the path of the road that I would have to extend northward to achieve a 40-acre lot division. The terrain of the property has a natural channel right up the middle of it, which is basically the only flat area of the whole property. That'd be the most likely place to put a road, and that's where the previous owners had their driveway at. However, if I'm splitting property, that's going to bisect the property with a multi-user access road that's basically going to carve one place into two, which actually makes it more difficult for grazing, you know, trying to get the livestock across the road. So I've put the road that I built under tender parcel map waiver 1017. I built the road on the east side under it with a grading permit in order to prevent that bisection of the future lots. In order to extend that further north with 40-acre lots, I would have to go through that remaining mobile home and a PG&E distribution line. It's a 12 kV line out there. So I feel that is kind of a little bit of a hardship that would hopefully satisfy finding one. Finding two, as you mentioned, there are several 5- and 10-acre parcels in the area, and I'm not requesting to go down that low. If I were a developer, I'd probably be looking to rezone into 5-acre lots. That's not my intent. My intent is to live there, and I'm not trying to change the characteristics of the land much. Basically, this project is to fund our own home's construction. I know that there was a variance approved in 1994. I know that doesn't set precedent for future approvals, but it does establish a precedent for the area of a variance application where an AE20 parcel that was already at 10-acre lots was split down further into fives. So they went down to a quarter of the size that was allowed. I'm only asking to go to half. Finding three was concurred by staff, so no issue there. I will note that the request in this application was acknowledged as limited. So finding four, I would agree that per the letter of the law, 20-acre parcels are not expressly permitted without extenuating circumstances. However, I believe the spirit of the law is met, the intent of the general plan to preserve the operations as they are. If I were to carve this into 40-acre lots, there leaves a lot of extra space there outside of a single-family residence that they would maybe further try to split it in the future, such as what happened on Rusty Spur across the street, where one 40-acre parcel split into four tens. I'm not interested in people splitting it any further. I'm going to live there, and less neighbors is more desirable in my mind. But, you know, we've seen that there are 5- and 10-acre lots abutting me, and within 1/2 mile of my property, I've counted 56 5-acre lots and 6 10-acre lots, and 9 of those share a property line with me. So I believe that this project is consistent with the neighborhood, and in fact, maybe it does a little more to preserve the ag operations by keeping parcels bigger than a residential parcel, but small enough that would discourage them to be further split. I think that's all I have at this point. I'd be happy to entertain any questions.
Thank you. When did you purchase the property?
2015.
2015?
Yes, sir.
Which parcel were you going to live on?
The northernmost one.
The large one?
Yes.
63 acres?
I'm keeping the big one for myself.
Okay. This says the applicant applied for a tentative parcel map waiver in 2010.
That was the previous owners. When I purchased the property, it already had that entitlement on it. My intention then was to just finish out their TPMW and sell the bare lots and then build our home. As I've done the math on the construction costs of everything, 4 lots makes more sense, and actually constructing homes to sell for speculation.
Is a larger lot, the 63 acres, is that the one that has the Williamson Act?
The Williamson Act is on the entire parcel.
Okay.
I have filed a notice of non-renewal for the 60-acre portion that would become non-conforming per the Williamson Act, designated as non-prime land, so that's a minimum 40-acre size. Williamson Act allows 20s if you're prime land, but up here they don't consider that soil type to be prime. So I conferred with staff, and we agreed to file a notice of non-renewal on the 60-acre portion. That is also the portion that was estimated by the assessor's office for the cancellation fees.
And now, when did you start that cancellation?
That cancellation was submitted on 3/27 of this year.
And how long do they tell you it takes now?
I believe I was told 4 months. It took 8, but we had to get the appraisal done by the assessor's office. Mm-hmm. As I understand it, the ALCC has been decommissioned, and that's all of you now. It took about, it's taken since March of this year.
Thank you.
It goes to the
application in 2015 or the 1336s?
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
And that expired in 2019.
It did. And again, we went through a divorce, and it was a difficult time to get things done. When we built the road, we got a 500-year storm that week when we built the road, and it was quite challenging.
So you're asking this to keep the larger lot and the other ones 20 acres instead of 40 acres?
Yes.
So that would make yours a 40 if you had to.
Mine would still be, the remainder would still be conforming.
63, yes.
Yes.
But if he took and had to make these larger, like they're supposed to be,
mm-hmm.
then you'd have to take it out of your 63.
Right. Mm-hmm. And if I were to do 3 40-acre lots, the remainder would be 3 acres. So it'd be...
Mm-hmm.
The original TPMW had irregular-shaped lots in it, which I think makes it difficult when you're trying to herd livestock from one place to the next. Mm-hmm. If you ever tried to wrestle cows with an ATV, I got yelled at by the neighbor trying to help him one day. So I like to keep the lots rectangular, as is consistent with the other lots in the area.
This is where you talked about having the terrain that is probably like rolling hills.
Yes. So I guess I gave away all of my photos, but as you see the top left photo, that's the road I built. The rest of them are just postcards. That's actually, if the top left photo, if you turned 180 and looked to the north, that's looking south. If you look to the north, the terrain kind of goes up a steep hill and right into where that mobile home remains. Which is where I actually intend to move to and live with my boys while we're building this project. And there is a PG&E 12 kV line right in the middle of where that would be. The only other option to that is to carve it into the lot. You know, if I had to make bigger lots that extend north into that area, I'd have to bisect the lot with the access road, which again creates some dead space. Normally it's not a big issue on smaller lots like 5 acres. You lose a few thousand square feet. Up here, you know, it would cost, you would make 5 acres unusable to route the road around that area.
Is this land used for grazing now?
It is.
You're using
it? Not mine. I have a lady named Kate who approached me, and we executed a lease this year for 1 year for her to graze 16 pairs, 15 pairs, cow-calf.
Cow-calf.
She calls them her girls. They were skinny when they came in, and they're fat now, so she's happy. And I plan on extending that for another year in April and hopefully beyond that. Even if there were no commercial revenues from grazing on this property, it's still prudent to keep the animals in there for fire suppression. So that's my intent long term, is to have it grazed.
Or anything else to add?
I don't think so. Appreciate
question, Ken.
Yes.
Just a little bit more on the grazing part. Is it currently fenced?
Yes.
Just around the perimeter?
Perimeter fencing, yes. We got five strand. I'm sorry?
Is there any cross fencing?
Not yet.
For example, along the lines that you have drawn here?
Not yet.
Nothing?
No. That will be fenced with five strand barbed wire, and I will be putting gates between them. There is also a property owner to the west of me named Larry Bird. He has 10 acres and 80 head of cattle. At least he had 80 head. I don't know what he's got now. He takes them across my property to graze on the 500 acres to the east of me, to Bobby Burns' property. For years, I've been toying with ideas about how to get his cattle across without forcing him to take them down Millington Road. Excuse me. So I'm actually very seriously trying to figure out how to fence off some sort of a path 20, 30 feet wide to where he could take his cattle through, and then also create permeability between the lots so that people grazing could take them from lot to lot. So we could have maybe one tenant for all four lots.
Earlier in your narrative, you mentioned something about covenants you were going to put on the lots regarding building. Can you repeat those again?
So, yes. Because I intend to live there, I'm trying to go out there and enjoy the peace and quiet. I'm not trying to have somebody build a wedding venue out there and listen to rap music every Saturday night while grandma gets down on the dance floor, right? So I'm going to be trying to come up with all covenants and conditions I can come up with to restrict commercial use, you know, beyond, of course, commercial grazing, but just to prevent it from becoming something that it's not today.
Yeah, I don't think that really you can do that. I mean, you can say it and propose it, but once the property is sold to someone else, I think the council, if you could address that, but I think those go out.
Okay.
To play.
Well, I'm going to do what I can.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that.
And you know, I'm what's in my mind is, you know, the horse arena at Rusty Spur, which I know is actually not a bad operation. It's just I don't intend to bring more traffic to the area.
Yeah, well, let me ask council just to expand on it just a little bit.
Just as we've stated before, the county cannot require him to put CC&Rs in any sense on the property because there's no enforcing agency. Once it's gone, it's gone. If his idea is to form some sort of HOA with the houses, I actually can't give an opinion on that. I don't know if there would be a way to do that or not.
I think he by right can do it, but I don't think we can. Is that not what you're saying?
Right. We can. We cannot make it a condition of approval
we can't
of this
make
project.
It a condition, but,
so he can
but
say
if that's
he's
his
doing
intention.
It
now.
That was my understanding as well.
Correct.
Okay.
But it would not carry through to, as you said, to the next owner.
It would if he does.
I believe it runs with the land.
If some sort of HOA, it wouldn't run with the land if this was sort of an HOA situation.
Mm-hmm.
I think it maybe could. I don't know HOA law, but if they'd be creating an HOA private development sort of situation.
But without that.
They could just revoke it. Mm-hmm. A new owner could revoke it.
There will be some sort of association in order to provide fees to maintain the private road.
Mm.
So we will need to collect you know, small fee. We don't need a lot. I don't think I'd say a couple hundred bucks a month ought to do it to, you know, overlay the road every 25 years or so. So there will be an arrangement for that.
Have you had any opposition from your neighbors? Have you discussed it with your neighbors? They know what's going on, and obviously they've been noticed, but do you have any knowledge of anything?
I've received no negative feedback. I've been stopped on the road while I've been working out in front. People interested in it. My neighbor, Larry, at one point suggested he might take a lot and build a house on it. The neighbor to the east of me, who's got 500 acres, suggested I might want to buy his part, a portion of his land, and do the same. So I think there's support for it, and I believe it's consistent with what's developed in the neighborhood. And I believe it's a good project for the county. I mean, it's in my mind, it's the best of both worlds. You're getting increased tax revenues and also preserving a lot size that's large enough to maintain the existing operations. We're adding one residence beyond that allowed by the general plan. So,
any other questions or comments?
What we're up against is the fact is to maintain ag land.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's zoned. And so here we have to be so conscious of making sure that we maintain the ag portion. and not let it eventually all grow into to two homes. And so where do we start and where do we stop? And, you know, because terrain was made for how, for cattle to graze, and that's what it was intended to be.
Right.
So that's what we have to review here and see. So it's...
Again, I would put forth that, you know, a 40-acre lot, it's still got a lot of extra space outside the home. If I put a nice home inside, right in the middle of a 20-acre lot, it's going to discourage them from trying to split it further. But still, it's a good enough size to be able to graze 8, 10 you know, animals on there at a time. And I could insert in the agreement for the maintenance fees that we have a common tenant that grazes those parcels. And that's actually something I might consider as well. If not, if nothing else, then for fire suppression to keep the weeds down. But also to maintain what we've got going out there now.
I have a problem with it because it goes against the general plan. And, I mean, then what's the reason to have a general plan if we don't enforce it? I mean, you can do your four lots, irregular lots, if necessary, to establish your housing, your site for your house. They don't have to be perfectly rectangle. I understand you're talking about grazing, but cows will go where you guide them to. So I don't see a reason to allow this to be passed, in my opinion. So,
okay.
Well, I think the as far as the general plan and the intent, so I don't know anything about grazing. I mean, as far as cows and everything, we have some experts on the panel, I think, that do. But I don't know if, since you could, it's 123 acres, you could split, if you chose to, into three 40-acre parcels with a little remainder, and you're proposing to add one more parcel, keeping the larger one and then having 20-acre parcels. I don't know if that changes much as far as grazing. Like I think you indicated, 20 acres, it's not like, well, there's not much else you can do with the balance of the property if someone put a home on there. And I would think they would want to have it grazed for fire suppression and just to keep it cleaner. So I think that, you know, I think we, in my opinion, it's not as contrary to the objectives of the general plan. I know on paper it is, but that's why you're here, for us to see if there could be an exception, or after we hear your testimony, we go with that. So... any other comments, questions?
What are the sizes of the grazing land that's not into houses around you?
That's not housed? There's a 62-acre parcel to the south that is BLM land.
Mm-hmm.
The 50 and the 62, I believe, are both BLM land that's leased by Mr. Hedrick, I believe. At one time it was. I'm not sure if it is anymore. I don't know that there's really any grazing happening on the 40-acre parcels on Rusty Spur. I don't see any. Doesn't mean it's not happening, but it doesn't appear to be. The 280-acre parcel does have a house back there. I believe that's where Mr. Hedrick lives. And then the 337 next door, that has a residence on it as well. There's a man leasing that with his herd, and he reached out to me just to make contact a few months ago, just introduce himself. I think that's it. And then everything that's 5 and 10 acres, I don't believe there's any grazing there. It's just, you know, people just mow it or whatever, right?
Usually grazing lands are like 300, 500, 1,000 acres.
I wish I had 1,000
acres. And
that's
what these houses, that's what the terrain was made for.
Yeah.
So now it's... The ones that aren't used to it probably think, you know, this is large compared to what the city has, but that's not what is from grazing from the,
right,
the mountains and the terrain.
I will say that the lady who's grazing on my land now, she knows what I'm doing. We had long discussion about it, and you know, we put it all on paper, and she's interested in continuing that after, you know, if this is approved.
Thank you.
And I'll be installing gates to that effect to be able to get the animals from place to place without crossing any road that would put them in harm.
Any other questions?
You know, when you build a home on a 20 or 40, whatever you do, and it's being grazed all around it, what do you do to protect that home from those 20 pairs from coming in and chewing up the party's lawn and
the
gal's tulips?
I would put a five-strand barbed wire fence around an acre or two of it, you know, wherever the yard's established, and you know the part that the person's going to live on the home site would be fenced off so the cows couldn't get in there. That's the case as it is today. In fact, the four mobile homes around there were in that way too. They had fencing around each one of them.
And when were the mobile homes removed?
Number of years ago. I think I had the first one removed in the year I bought it, possibly 2015.
So they were there for years before you bought the property?
Yeah, they were there quite a while. When I bought the property, the previous owners, the husband and wife, were living in the mobile home that still remains, and their mother was living in the one all the way to the south. And they all moved out when I bought it, and I got rid of the three southern homes. One of them just went next door.
Any other questions or comments? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I don't think there's anyone else here to speak on this, but I will ask anyone else to speak in support of this application. Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Seeing none, I will close the public portion of the hearing, bring it back to the commission for discussion and a motion.
I'm more probably where Commissioner Abrahamian is. I could make some arguments that by right he could do three lots anyway. So he's going to four. He's keeping a 63-acre lot. You've got 10-acre lots all the way, all adjoining the one side of it and the top side of it. So, you know, I don't see it as a huge ask compared to some things I've seen over the years. But
any other comments? Care to make a motion? You want me to try it, or
you try? Okay. I make too many. I'm trying to back off of that.
All right. Well, I think I can make the findings. I know. You know, staff does their job that they need to do, and it's correct. But after hearing the testimony and listening to the comments of the applicant, I think there are some circumstances that would apply to findings 1 and 2. He does have the right, as acknowledged, to have three 40-acre parcels. By keeping one parcel at 60 acres and having the other three at 20, that would pretty much keep there from being any further division of those parcels unless it came back to our commission. I mean, he wouldn't be able to split the 60. I mean, he could come and apply to split the 60. But I don't believe he would do that, and he'd have to go through the same process, and we would probably look at it a little differently at that point. With regards to the general plan, finding number 4, I don't think it will interfere with the agricultural operations surrounding the property. We heard testimony that sounds like he's already accommodating the farming operations on both sides of him, and taking him for his word, he would see that they would continue to, he would somehow figure out a way to allow the movement of the cattle from one side to the other. So I think that just shows good intent on part of the applicant. So As far as the additional home sites, I don't see it being impacting as much, you know, say, well, three instead of four or four instead of three. So with that, I'm going to make a motion that the findings can be made, as I've stated, and move to approve variance number 4142, subject to conditions of approval and project notes listed in Exhibit 1, and direct the Secretary to prepare a resolution documenting the Commission's action.
I'll second that.
Okay, so the motion and the second. Chair made the motion, and Commissioner Arabian made the second. Is there any discussion?
Yeah, I've got a question. And look at the map that he's provided. First of all, from staff, that road that he's constructed, does that provide an adequate easement for all the parties? Or does that satisfy the county requirement?
County doesn't have. Yes, it's not being offered as a public access road. There would be standards for that, but as a private easement, that'll be somewhat up to him. And it's an issue that's taken up during the whether it's a parcel map or whatever he uses. That's a different arena. It's not a land use issue. But again, if this were a proposal that included a proposal for a public right-of-way, then we would have had to look at the configuration of the width and the adequacy of the various elements. But because this is a private one, as there are numerous private easements throughout the county on large acreage, we don't invest ourselves in making those determinations.
Would this come up, do you have a site plan review or what's...
It come up during the parcel map process.
And then whatever requirements there are,
he can
make those.
Typically, it doesn't take much. There's a lot of dirt tracks between large acreage out there that are just simple easements. Or some people put in very complete roadways. That's a personal decision everybody has to make.
Commissioner Quist, did you want to hear from the applicant or not necessary?
Well, I guess the other part of it, maybe from the applicant, is that a creek bed that goes through there? And is it live just in rainy season?
Yes, sir.
How would a homeowner traverse that based on where their home is?
So the creek bed is to the... It's to the west of where the mobile homes were. So it's right at the middle of the parcel. I put the new road that I built under permit of TPMW 1017 on the east side. I intend to record 115-foot wide private access easement for all the lots to be served. And I have built that road per standards of the county. There's a county standard for private access easements. I think it requires 18 feet of traveled way and a 3-foot shoulder on one side. I'm exceeding that with 20 feet and 5 feet on each side.
Now, you said, I think earlier, that you were going to build spec homes and then turn and sell them. Is that
yes.
right?
Yes, sir.
And where were you going to site those homes in relation to the road and the creek bed?
Can we get a pointer? Does he have a pointer? Or maybe easier.
Sorry. I was going to site those homes across the creek bed. It is a seasonal creek. It Jane runs. Oh, thank you.
Okay.
It is a seasonal creek. It does not run all the time. So the creek runs, well, you're on this side.
All right.
The creek runs kind of right up this way. I've been toying with putting home sites here, here, and here with just a driveway across with a culvert. I have culvert pipe on site ready to go to build the driveways there. And the natural drainage patterns of the area necessitated four culverts across the road that I built. So I have a 15-inch culvert up in this area, and then a 12, and a 12, and a 12. And then there is an 18-inch culvert under Millerton Road right here.
Could you please go back and show us where the easement is going to be or the road, please?
The road easement, so the dash lines here is the Millerton Road 60-foot right-of-way, and then the easement I'm proposing is this dash line here. This was necessary to get over the first hill with this road, building an entrance that gets vehicles off of Millerton Road, which is skinny, and you know people fly through there because it's fun. But this little horseshoe that I built here is to get the residents off of there, probably get their mail right here, and then going through the gated entry at this point. So it'll be a gated, a private road.
And is your intentions to do it a deeded, recorded easement whenever you get the other houses?
Yes, the whatever instrument is necessary to ensure that each parcel has access to the public right of way will be recorded.
Thanks.
And I think it was mentioned that'll be ironed out during the tentative map process.
Any other questions of the applicant? Thank you. We'll bring it back to the commission. We have a motion and a second for approval. Is there any more discussion?
I was just thinking if another option would be to do an amendment, a general plan amendment and a rezone, and it would take 2 years off of his life and and a lot of extra money and studies and things. And without, you know, this is just my opinion, speculating, it probably then would be, could be, I guess, supported by staff in that route. So that kind of also plays into my opinion that you know, he can get it done here, he can get it done there, but it just costs him a lot more money and take a lot longer. So.
Okay. We have you worked on the staff for the project. Is that recommendation plausible?
Staff recommendation for denial, you were
No, for rezoning and 2 years of his life to...
Excuse me, it is plausible, but without having more specific details for that project, we would be unable to say whether it would be approved or recommended for approval or denial. But it is an option that the applicant has.
Okay, well, if there's no other discussion, comments, we'll ask for a roll call vote.
It's already done. I second. You made the motion.
Chairman Abrahamian?
Yes.
Commissioner Arabian?
Yes.
Commissioner Borchardt?
No.
Commissioner Quist?
Yes.
Commissioner Whelan?
Just a point of clarification because I missed part of this. So this is to approve, the motion is to approve and to reject the staff recommendation.
To approve the denial.
If he missed it, should he abstain?
Probably not.
Or?
Well, I reviewed the material and I have my own assessment. I just wanted to make sure I understood the motion. So a yes would mean we reject the recommendation and we approve the project. Okay, so I'm a yes. I vote to approve the project.
Okay. Thank you. Vice Chair Hill?
Yes.
Okay, so that carries 5-1 and is final unless appealed to the Board of Supervisors, so congratulations.
Thank you very much. Appreciate everyone.
Okay, next item number 4.
This item,
Commissioner
Mr.
Arabian?
Chairman, I have to recuse myself due to proximity of a personally owned property.
Okay, Commissioner Arabian will be recusing himself. We still have 5 commissioners to hear this item.
Regular agenda item number 4, variance application number 4153 and environmental review number 8430, proposing to allow for the creation of 7.64 substandard parcel from an existing 21.51 acre parcel with a condition to submit a property line adjustment application to meet the minimum lot size requirements of the AE20 zone district from the balance of APN 314-12052 and 314-12065S and waive development standards to allow for a 12-foot side yard setback for the existing shade structures where a 20-foot side yard setback is required within the AE20 zone district. If approved, a mapping procedure will follow. The subject parcel is located on the north side of Kings Canyon Road, approximately 1.7 miles from the city of Sanger.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission. Alexander Pretzer, Department of Public Works and Planning. Variance application 4153 proposes the creation of a 7.64-acre substandard parcel from a 21.51-acre parcel with a condition to submit a property line adjustment application and waive development standards to allow a 12-foot yard side yard setback for the existing shade structures located on the parcel. The subject parcel is located in the AE20 zone district and is designated as agriculture in the Fresno County General Plan. The previous iteration of this variance application proposed two substandard parcels, a 7.64-acre parcel and a 13.87-acre parcel, and the waiver of development standards to allow a 12-foot side yard setback. The Commission denied this variance application, and the applicant appealed the decision to the Board of Supervisors. At the March 19, 2024 board hearing, the applicant requested the item to be continued to a date uncertain. The board made a motion to continue the item and refer it back to the Planning Commission. The applicant has since revised their application and is now proposing a 7.64-acre parcel and waiver of development standards to allow a 12-foot side yard setback. The applicant has proposed a property line adjustment between the 13.87-acre remainder of the subject parcel, identified as APN 314-12052S, and the parcel located north, identified as APN 314-12065S, to meet the 20-acre minimum parcel size required by the AE20 zone district. Here are some photos of existing structures on the property. Staff's analysis and recommendation remains unchanged from the previous iteration of the application, as there is no difference between the creation of one substandard parcel or two substandard parcels. As such, staff is unable to make findings 1, 2, and 4. Staff is available for any questions you may have.
Any questions of staff? The total acreage we're talking about is 21.51 acres, correct?
Currently, that is correct, yes.
Okay, Commissioner Quist.
Just a little explanation on Exhibit 1, conditions for approval. Shade structures must be permitted or removed before approval of variance can be considered valid. So if we were to approve this application, explain the rest of that to me.
If the variance is approved, the applicant would be required to have the buildings permitted and meeting county requirements. That would just be a normal building permit through zoning.
Any other questions of staff? The Board of Supervisors referred it back to us. Was there any other comments that they had that any indication why they just sent it back to us?
If I might. So when it was sent on appeal to the Board of Supervisors, there was a request made by the applicant to continue the item because he wanted to look at a alternative. So that was sort of what they were facing, is it was going to change, but the change really couldn't be done as part of an appeal. You can't switch in the middle. So that's why they chose, rather than just to continue it, to refer it back to the Planning Commission. And subsequently, the applicant did make the amendment, which is reflected in your staff report now, which took basically, instead of there being two substandard parcels, there's now only one substandard parcel. The lot line adjustment allowing the other parcel to be sufficient size as to meet the 20-acre requirement.
Any
It's just basically they couldn't hear an appeal on something that's changed because the Planning Commission hadn't heard that.
Right. Okay. Any other questions of staff? Okay. Thank you very much. Would the applicant come forward, please?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the Planning Commission. I'm Dirk Puschel. I'm here this morning on behalf of James Maxey, who is present with me. Mr. Maxey owns and farms the subject 21.5-acre parcel on which the 7-acre horticultural use exists. Mr. Maxey also owns the 34.68 parcel immediately to the north. The proposed 7-acre parcel has operated as a separate horticultural use for the past 20 years. Horticultural nurseries are allowed by right in the AE zone. The operator of the nursery, Mr. Jeff Noble, is also present here today. And if you can see in the aerial photograph that you can get in front of you, it is itself standalone. And that, I think, has particular relevance to finding number one. We have our own water well, we have our own electricity, we have our own access to a public road, we have our own individual septic system. It is fenced from the typical agricultural uses proximate to us. And it is, we have our own electricity and our own generator. It's fully developed, fully separate parcel that is not dependent on any of the other parcels near it and has operated as a viable agricultural horticultural facility for over 20 years. We believe that finding two can also be made. It is located in an area characterized by substantial number of parcels smaller than the required 20-acre minimum. If you look at the variance map, exhibit number 4, you'll see that there are 36 parcels are 20 acres or less, and 19 of those parcels are under 10 acres in size. The applicant, we believe, has a right to the same ability to use his property as others have under the same AE20 zone in the vicinity of the subject piece. The horticultural activities will continue as an allowed agricultural use in perpetuity. The purpose of the variance is to allow the nursery to finance needed improvements and to make the use of the facility more productive. There is no public interest that is being harmed by the creation of this parcel that has functionally been in this location for 20 years. Finding number 3, staff believes, can be made that there'll be no adverse impacts to surrounding properties. The site, as I mentioned earlier, is fully developed, and but needed upgrades, there's no improvements that are necessary. The existing well has a history of strong production, and the site is not within a water-short area, so the potential for impacts to neighboring wells is minimal. We've canvassed our neighbors, and we have substantial letters of support. I'm going to hand those to Alex. You'll hear from Mr. Noble in a moment. He also spoke to the neighbor immediately to the east, and they do not oppose the project. They just were not able to communicate in time to for your commission hearing. But again, the site is fully developed, but for needed upgrades with no improvements that are necessary, and has a 20-plus year history of strong horticultural production. Finding number 4. The purpose of the AE20 minimum lot size is to assure that ag parcels are large enough to be a viable farming unit. This site has been an independent agricultural unit for over 20 years. And again, this is an allowed right use in the AE20 zone. Minimum lot sizes were also established in the general plan and your zoning ordinance to reduce the potential conflicts between rural home sites and agricultural uses. There have been no conflicts between the horticultural use that has existed on the site for 20 years and the typical agricultural uses surrounding it. There is no residential component requested or desired by the seller or the nursery operator as part of this application. In fact, constructing a home on the site is mutually excluded in the sale agreement in perpetuity. The project voluntarily offers to adjust Mr. Maxey's two existing parcels to create two 24.6-acre pieces and then recognize the 7-acre piece that has essentially been an agricultural use for the past 20 years, as you see in the exhibit that you have here. And for those reasons, we believe that the general plan findings can be made because we are not introducing a non-agricultural use to the area. So I'd be happy to answer any questions, and Mr. Noble has some comments he'd like to make as well.
Mr. Pushel, can you refresh my memory as yes. to your original application?
Yes. Yes. The original application, Mr. Chairman, would have had a 13-acre piece that would have been substandard. So there would have been a 7 and a 13.
It would have had nothing to do with the parcel to the north.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we were not involved in the project. That was the project engineer. But we thought if we merged the two parcels, creating two 24s, you'd have two very functional agricultural parcels that are in production now under the same ownership, and you would recognize the 7-acre parcel, the horticulture parcel that's been in existence and operational for about 20 years. So it is essentially recognizing the status quo.
Okay.
Now, you mentioned that you want to split this because of financing. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, why that's would one
you,
of the reasons.
Or you want to sell off the 7-acre parcel and the nursery only, or what's the
Well, Mr. Maxey wants
underlying...
to sell to Mr. Noble the 7-acre parcel, but as you are aware, that cannot happen. He's been a leasee. He's been leasing the property from Mr. Maxey, but wants to buy the property because he'd like to reinvest in the property. Doesn't want to move. It's a perfect location for him. The hot houses are there. The road's there. The well's there. His caretaker's residence is there. It's functioned as a horticultural facility. Even before Mr. Noble owned it, there was a pansy grower that was there. So it's had a continual use of this horticultural use for about 20 years.
Why doesn't he just buy the 20 acres?
Mr. Maxey doesn't want to sell the 20. He just wants to sell the 7.
So as you know, Mr. Pushel, just the financial business alone is not reason to make a finding.
That's absolutely correct.
And I think you've expressed, what you've presented now sounds better than what was presented before.
We think so.
Yeah. That's why you're here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What we tried to do, Mr. Chairman, very frankly, was we tried to say, if we were commissioners, would you want to have a 7 and a 13? That didn't seem to be the optimum configuration. What we propose now is essentially recognizing what's been there for 20 years. It's a bona fide agricultural use. We've expanded the size of Mr. Maxey's two remaining parcels to 24 acres. He wants to continue farming. He's been in the farming industry for many years. We recognize this 7-acre parcel that's an allowed use. It's an independent parcel that you can see just without having a presentation, you can see how different it is than the rest of the Maxey properties. So we thank you for your consideration, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any other questions of the speaker?
Why can't he just buy the property and lease it back the farming operation? Presently he's leasing back because the other reverse the situation.
Yeah, and as I think you appreciate because you're a business person, if you went to the bank and you said, I would like to borrow, let's just use $1 million to rehabilitate the facility, and $1 million may not be enough, they're going to encumber the entire parcel, not just the 7. And Mr. Maxey doesn't want to have a loan on his property. Mr. Noble very much wants to reinvest in the 7 that's been there for many years and functional. It's been a functional operating unit for 20 years. So that's the reason.
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Quist.
On Exhibit 7, page 3, under your finding 3 conversation, you have in the first paragraph, in addition, the sale of the 7-acre nursery site will be subject to a voluntary deed restriction between the seller and the buyer, that no home be built on that parcel unless allowed by the Fresno County zoning ordinance, thereby eliminating the potential conflict between residential. Is that having all your eggs and getting it all for you? Or?
No, we don't want to have a home on the site, Commissioner Quist.
You don't, but what happens for the next owner?
Well, we want the covenant, and the covenant will run in perpetuity that there be no home. And what we were thinking is 50, 60, 70 years from now, if this area urbanized, I know that sounds crazy, but who would have thought we'd be building homes out at Temperance? But it's our intention, and I'll say it again, as long as this property is zoned agricultural, we have no intention of building a home on it. Mr. Maxey doesn't want a home, and Mr. Noble doesn't want a home. It's inconsistent. The land is too valuable as a nursery growing yard. We don't want the conflicts. So that's the agreement between the two gentlemen.
Okay. You know, one of the concerns, I look at that map, and then look at, I think it's a staff map,
mm-hmm.
and that parcel to the east, it says field crops.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't look like field crops to me. So I wonder down the road
mm-hmm.
what might happen to this particular 7-acre parcel when it's not being used. Let's say the nursery doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, in perpetuity, there isn't going to be a home there.
Okay.
We want to assure the commission. We could say it 10 times if that was better, but neither party, the seller or the buyer, want a home on the site. It's just in conflict. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else here to speak in support of this application?
That's me. Good morning. Hi, Jeff Noble here. So as Dirk said, I have no intentions on building a home on this property. I have a landscape contracting business, and I would like to make this property a lot more productive for my business. And I have horticultural issues right now that I can't do without this property. So I want to plant, I want to grow, I want to continue on building my business. So that's one of the main reasons. And right now I do have plants growing on it. So it is working out very well for me. I have all my business out there. I have a caretaker that watches the property so nothing gets stolen. So basically, to reiterate everything, once again, no proposed home at all.
Does the caretaker live there, though?
Yes.
So no additional homes?
No. None whatsoever.
Okay.
No, I do a lot of synthetic grass. I do a lot of commercial projects, and I actually need, what I need to do is, if I do purchase this property, it allows me to improve it and make my business improve. So, and I've been there for 4 years. I've leased from Mr. Maxey for 4 years now, and now it's time to move forward and make this property a lot better and make my business a lot better.
Mr. Noble, can you share with us what your intentions of growing there?
It's just plants, basically, for
Ag
my landscaping.
Or landscaping plants.
Yes, landscaping plants. Trees, you know, anything that goes in your front yard.
With regards to the conditions, if this were approved, you agree with all of the notes and conditions?
Yes.
There are some buildings on there that need to be permitted.
And we are in the process right now of having that all done. Matter of fact, I have an operational statement that I need to take over right now to the planning department. I have a number. I don't know if that helps or not.
It doesn't matter.
Okay, yeah, everything has been taken care of.
Okay. Okay.
So I needed two more things, and I have the last one is the operational statement.
Okay. Any other questions of the applicant?
So these pictures that have been provided, when were those taken? Because it looks like there's nothing happened.
Those pictures are very recent. Yeah, see all the green fencing? The fencing has been all the structure of the around the fence that has been the green tarps. Those structures were on the site prior to. Those have been there for 20 years. There's 37 of those. And that was when Kenny's Pansy was in full operation. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that at all. They grew all kinds of pansies and snapdragons, and they were basically an annual farm. So the improvements have been to that is just cleaning the place up, making it look a lot better, and no structures have been really done. That these over here on the far left, those, as you can see, they're 5-gallon containers where I put my plants, my new plants. See the far right structure right there, that is a shade cloth structure that they did want to permit, and we got that taken care of because we can take it down in the matter of 30 minutes. So that doesn't need a permit. We've already got that taken care of, and that's the front gate. Far right, those 1, 2, 3, 4, those are actual, the four arches, those are one building. So those are the hothouses right there. That's where they grew the main portion of the pansies. So those have been there for over 20 years. And then the back part, although I did put all the palm trees in, and you can see all the nice gravel and everything now. So it's just
so
basically
the frontage road right there?
Right here, yes. That was Old Kings Canyon. That was before 180 came in.
Right. So is that gate pull in?
Yes, it does. Yes. Yeah, the setback is, yeah, they had semis pull in there all the time. Now, the other thing, too, is there's no retail business going through here whatsoever. So this is for my business only. So I had a semi come in there today and drop some pots off for one of my big jobs that I'm doing. So that is an electric gate there. There's this one over here is another gate that I basically don't use. And then, of course, there's the frontage there that I think it's a 20, 30 foot. There's another fence on the other side of that that separates 180.
Any other questions of the speaker? Thank you, Mr. Noble.
Thank you.
Anyone else to speak in support of this application? Anyone here to speak in opposition to this application? Bring it back to the commission for discussion and a motion.
So my understanding is the only reason they want to do this split is because he wants to buy the 7 acres because the owner doesn't want to sell the whole 20 acres is all what we're coming down to. I don't know if that's enough reason to go against the general plan. Because he can lease back the remainder that he wants to farm, if he still wants to farm. I mean, could you please come up, sir, the owner, and explain that to me? Because I don't understand why this is necessary.
Well,
state your name if you would.
My name is Jim Maxey, and the thing is basically, I mean, it might be old-fashioned, but you own the land you farm. I mean, I grew up in the cattle industry and a lot of things like that, and that's why we wanted to give him an opportunity to buy that. That's been what it is. We don't want to be in the nursery business, and he does, and I want to be in the farming business, and I like, you know, it may be old-fashioned, but that's how I've always been.
I can appreciate that. I mean, my grandfather was a farmer, not, you know, a dairy farmer, and I understand that. But, I mean, from a standpoint of what we have to look at from the general plan, I don't know if it warrants us to change the general plan when this can be easily remedied by you leasing back the remainder of the crops that are on the property to perpetuity at a favorable rate. And he could, you know, own the whole property, just like you're doing now, leasing to him, you know, for his nursery business. I'm not following it.
Well, I certainly understand Mr. Maxey's position, especially when we understand he wouldn't want, yeah. And I think that goes to the finding for the general plan. And in this case, you know, we have a situation where the nursery will continue to operate as it was established, and the balance of the property will be farmed. I think if the applicant, if he were to purchase it and lease it back, that wouldn't work for Mr. Maxey. You know, there, just as I think it was mentioned earlier, he wouldn't want to encumber the property if, you know, as far as getting a loan and have a chance of it being losing the property. So I think in this case, I think finding four could be addressed by what's been presented. So any other comments, questions of Mr. Maxey? How long have you had the property, Mr. Maxey?
I think about 12 years. I'd have to go back and okay. I'd have to look in records, but I think it's been something like that.
Okay. Any other questions?
I do have a question. And what is the intention with the 12 acres if it were to be partitioned like this? Just to continue.
Intention
to
with what?
You'd continue to farm it?
Yeah, well, it'll change into two over 20-acre parcels that we'll continue to farm.
And what's planted there now?
Almonds. Planted there now.
I'm sorry, what's on the property now?
Almonds.
Almonds, yeah. Okay. Okay. Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Maxey. Okay, anyone else here to speak in support of this application? I know we brought him up, but I'll go through it again. Make sure there's no one else in support. Anyone here in opposition? I will reclose the public portion of the hearing, bring it back up to the commission for discussion and a motion. Well, I'll try making a motion just to move it along.
You'd be real stative and clarative on your findings for us.
I will do that. And you.
Each one way one.
Okay. So we just get. Okay. I'll make the motion and then explain. If there's no second, then we'll move on. But I make a motion. Let me find it. To approve the application, move that the required findings can be made, and I will go through the findings this time. I'm not considering the financial business interest, but I am, as far as the property and the features, you have an existing nursery there. It's been operational for many years. We've heard the testimony that they, and this goes also to finding number two, that they would continue to operate that nursery, and that would be going towards the preservation and the property right of the applicant who wishes to continue to farm. We heard from the property owner, Mr. Maxey, has no interest in the nursery. And we also heard the reasons why against leasing, selling the property and leasing back a portion. With regards to finding three, I agree with staff. There's no significant material detriment to the properties in the vicinity. with regards to finding four. The granting of the variance will not be contrary to the objectives of the general plan. And again, on paper, you would say it is contrary to the objectives, but we have, especially with Mr. Maxey doing the lot line adjustment, in the past, this application would have created two substandard parcels. And now with the lot line adjustment, that shows that Mr. Maxey is serious about keeping the property in agriculture, in almonds, and or whatever else he needs to do after the almonds. But he wishes to continue farming the entire parcel. And Mr. Noble wishes to continue the nursery operation. So that's my motion. And I'll just ask if there's a second.
I will second that.
Okay, we have a motion by the chair and a second by Commissioner Whalen. Is there any discussion?
Yes.
Okay.
I appreciate the spirit of what they're wanting to do. And frankly, I'm still considering which direction to go here, but you know, what concerns me is what I mentioned earlier, and maybe we're not supposed to go there, but, you know, I clearly see the immediate intent of what they're wanting to accomplish. What I'm concerned about is what happens in 10 or 15 or 20 years, particularly when I look at that parcel to the east. And it's clearly not in field crops, as it's stated. It's in, look like it's storing something else other than agricultural activity. But, and then as far as conversion of ag land to housing, you look at Tulare and McCall, and there's a 20 there that's turned into 1.5s and 2.5s and cut up into pieces. Mm-hmm. I do not like that. That's inefficient use of property. And when you're in an irrigation district with good water, you got great soil. I'm assuming, Mr. Maxey, you're getting good production off those young almond trees. But again, I understand the spirit of it and the intent. There's my 2 cents for now.
Any other comments?
I think as commissioners, we have to look to see what we have now. And also realizing what it is now is only what it is now. It could change in sometimes sooner than we like because of things happening within families. So, that's where our decision has to be. We're here for the now, but also for the future of the county.
Well, I would agree with that. I'm just looking at the situation that we have now. And I share the concerns of, you know, developing and having the 1 or 2 acre lots, but that may come down the line. It has to go through the process for that. I don't see the applicant. I mean, he could always apply to do the same, whether it's a 7 acre parcel or a 20 acre parcel. I think by just splitting off the 7 acre parcel doesn't give him any advantage or step up to come back in the future and say, well, it's already 7 acres substandard, and now I want to put 4 houses there. So I think just looking at it, how it is today, the testimony we heard, the intent of the property owner, Mr. Maxey, and the way, you know, he'll continue to farm it, and I appreciate that. So that's, I guess if there's no other comments, I'll ask for a roll call vote. Are there any other comments? Okay, a roll call vote, please.
Chairman Abrahamian?
Yes.
Commissioner Quist?
Yes.
Commissioner Arabian? He's not here.
He's abstaining.
He's abstaining. Thank you. Commissioner Arcero is absent. Commissioner Borchardt?
I'll vote yes.
Commissioner Carver is absent. Commissioner Whelan?
Yes.
Commissioner Zante is absent. Vice Chair Hill?
Yes.
Okay. This passes approval on a 5-0 vote. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Next item on the agenda, number 5. Good morning.
Regular agenda item number 5, text amendment number 389, and environmental review number 8627 to modify the text of the Fresno County Zoning Ordinance to amend Article 5, Chapter 842.5, Conditional Use Permits, Section 842.5.020B, point B, point 14, for power production and generation facilities, and Article 7, definitions for public utility facilities to expand and provide additional clarity by including power storage and transmission in specific government code references.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the Commission. Chris Mata with the Department of Public Works and Planning. This amendment to text proposes to amend two sections of the recently updated Fresno County Zoning Ordinance, specifically, again, as the clerk read in the record, Article 5, Chapter 842.5 for conditional use permits related to power production and generation facilities, and Article 7, definitions for public utility facilities, in order to expand and provide additional clarity by including power storage, transmission, and specific government code references. By way of background, the Board of Supervisors adopted the General Plan Review and Comprehensive Zoning Ordinance on February 20th of this year, and this presents the first text amendment and general cleanup item to that zoning ordinance document since its adoption. We anticipate presenting an additional text amendment with corrections and other cleanup items to your commission in the near future. As discussed in your report to the commission, the state of California has recently adopted legislation authorizing state agencies to permit large-scale renewable energy projects absent of local land use review, and has expanded this authority to other areas. So in some cases, the county may no longer be the lead agency for review and commenting and processing, so the county seeks to at least retain its ability to comment and request project mitigation for large-scale renewable energy projects as a responsible agency, and we see these modifications as a way to help shore up that ability. An approval action by your commission today would be a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors who would take final action on this item, and staff anticipates taking this item to the board at its December 17th hearing this year. And this concludes my presentation, unless you have any questions of me.
Chris, does this address battery storage?
That is part of it. So it's not actually adding storage to part of that definition.
Okay. And then do they address the disposal of the batteries afterwards?
This part would not address that. It's simply dealing with the definition. That would be addressed in any type of land use permit. If it's a case where we're dealing with a project that's going to be under state purview, we have a large-scale project that was originally going to come in as a conditional use permit through the county, but then went through a process that they availed to be processed to the state, we would make comments to that state agency requesting that they deal with disposal and such, but this amendment wouldn't get down to that level of detail.
Any other questions of staff? So this goes to the board regardless. You're just asking for our recommendation.
Ideally, we would receive a favorable recommendation we could take forward to the board, but yes, it would. We would look to take this to the board.
Any other questions? Thank you, Chris. Anyone else here to speak in support? Is there anyone here to speak in opposition to this item? I'll bring it back to the commission, seeing none, closed public portion of the hearing. Bring it back to the commission for the motion, recommended action, which is on page 4. Motion by Commissioner Quist to approve as recommended by staff. And then a second by Commissioner Arabian. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Thank you very much. So staff, do you have anything on item number 6 to report? I know Commissioner Chata is no longer with us. And yes, he will be missed because I don't know how we'll adjourn now.
I was able to make motions.
Yeah. at a future date, I would like him to come back as a visitor so that we can express our appreciation for the years that he served. So maybe if you coordinate that with me, we can get a hold of him.
Mm-hmm. Would we have a cake too, maybe?
Maybe, well, he can bring, what is it he used to bring?
Samosas.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We'll ask him to bring that. So. I'm sure he will. So anyway, getting back seriously, any?
No, nothing other than obviously his replacement, our newly appointed commissioner, Brian Arcerio, will be with us hopefully at our next meeting, and we will continue on.
Okay, well, we will look forward to meeting him at the next meeting.
Has he gone through the initiation process?
He has. We had the opportunity to sit down with him and do our slideshow.
Do we tell him about bringing donuts?
I told him he had to, pick up where somebody else left off.
Okay.
Mimosas are a lot better.
Okay. All right. Well, if there's no other comments, we are adjourned.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.